Grace and peace, friends, and welcome back to Confessions in Concord, a podcast about confessional Christianity, where I explore great Christian creeds or symbols of the faith through an ecumenical lens. As the tag on the Twitter goes, creeds, confessions, catechisms, articles, and more. I'm your lay host, Cody, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Catholic Concord. Today I'll be walking through the Symbolum Apostolorum, the symbol of the Apostles, or what is commonly known as the Apostles' Creed, which for us in much more sacramental bodies, well, we had to memorize before our baptisms. So if you were a child preparing for confirmation or baptism, or even an adult convert to the faith, this would be the symbol used to catechize or prepare you. And I have to say, I was not baptized as an infant. I was baptized into the church at the age of 26. So it took me a little while, but I got there. And this is the creed I had to memorize in preparation to fully comprehend and prepare myself to be a member of the living Church of Christ our Lord. Now, briefly, I want to define a few terms to better clarify what precisely a symbol is, because it gets used in different ways depending on theological categories. Typically, if one were to hear the word a symbol, they may think of types, shadows, or signs in context to a person or object that acts as a foreshadow for someone or something else to come. So a symbol, type, or sign in this case would be something or someone who points to someone else. And this would be known as typology, which is simply the study of types or signs, which can also be expressed as shadows, seals, or symbols. For a great example, we can look to the Epistle to the Hebrews or the Book of Revelation if you happen to view that divine book as less than historic or literal in nature. However, for our case today, symbol, or the Latin symbolum, means a statement or token of identification. So in context, it is something that can be compared to something else or serve as a less than completely definitive counterpart of that thing, which is precisely what a creed or symbol of faith does. It isn't systematic, although in some cases it could be, I guess, but rather in our case we have a sacred scripture and then the token or symbol. So unlike a sacred scripture, it is brief, concise, and yet merely a summary of holy or divine truths. When I say symbol or symbol of faith, that is what I'm talking about, which is also synonymous with the Latin word credo, which is where we get the English word for creed. A credo or a creed is a statement or confession of beliefs derived from sacred scripture, or honestly sacred tradition. It can be as simple as I believe, which brings us now to the symbol of the Apostles or the Apostles' Creed. In Catholic tradition, that is the universally held position of the Christian Church, both East and West, as I shared earlier, this creed is used in the rite of baptism and often even the Eucharist. It is Trinitarian in formula, and it is said to take facets from each canonical gospel, so the gospel according to St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John. According to Christian tradition, it is said that each apostle contributed to each article of the creed, but the fact is it has actually evolved over time. So for instance, it has been revised from Latin, or really Greek and Latin, to English, and has even been reformatted to be more ecumenically minded. So basically, different Catholic bodies have sort of done their own thing with it within their respective denominations and within respective Orthodox boundaries. That is not to say that they've corrupted it, but rather that they've modernized it from 12 simple articles of the original languages to something that liturgically flows, I guess, more poetically in saying English yet traditional service of divine liturgy. Now, before we get into it, I just wanted to preface and say that I personally will be examining this great symbol through a much more high sacramental and traditionally Orthodox interpretation, as opposed to, say, a low Protestant interpretation that tends to be much more sacramentarian or evangelical in nature. With all of this said, let's get into the great symbol already. And just to clarify, I will actually be dividing each section into 12 articles as it was originally laid out. Quote, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator in heaven and earth, end quote. Here we have the first person of the Most Holy Trinity, God our Heavenly Father. Now, as Christians, we believe God is one, which following the Abrahamic religions surrounding Christianity, both Judaism and Islam, well, we would agree that God is one, which is known as monotheism. As we can see this expressed in sacred scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And this is known as the Shema. This is what early Jewish Christians would recite. Shema Yisrael, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, unlike the Greek, Roman, or pagan theologies of old, we believe God is one in three distinct persons, which is why we're Trinitarian monotheists and not merely monotheists. You see, within paganism, God is polytheistic, and so there was an entire pantheon of gods for every facet of life, a god for harvest, a god for the sun, a god for childbearing, a god for love, and so on and so forth. Which is why early Roman pagans actually called persecuted Christians atheists, because they didn't believe in Mercury or Jupiter or Neptune, but instead they faithfully held to Trinitarian monotheism, recognizing the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is important to note because in the early church there were numerous controversies over the divinity of Christ our Lord. Now, getting back to this article, we can see God as the creator, the maker of heaven and earth, as much later creeds would state. Ultimately, the source for our created order and for our very existence. Thus, we creatures owe everything to God, and in following St. Paul in his epistle to the Romans, quote, Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely, his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made, end quote. And we as creatures made in his image, in his imago Dei, are all without an excuse for denying such a thing. We know the truth because all of creation points to him. Now, as described in Genesis, we know also that before everything was, God is. So, as the book of Daniel says, I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. Now, mind you, this is a vision God gave Daniel. However, I've always loved that title, the Ancient of Days, because I believe it echoes back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, for example, expresses the spirit of God brooding or moving or hovering over the waters of this earthless, formless void. I'm also reminded of the doctrine of creatio ex nihilo, that before anything was, God is, and that God created something, everything really, out of nothing, that God created out of nothing. That creation came from nothing other than God himself, the most blessed Trinity. And in order to better clarify this Holy Trinity, we can see in the text that God said, quote, Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion, end quote. That comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So God the Holy Spirit is brooding over the void in verse 2, and then God the Father, Son, and Spirit are saying, Let us create in our in our image, in our own image. Let us create in our imago Dei, the image of God. I hope you can see now the importance of this prolific creed and how it can direct our minds to the Word of God and upon much prayer and meditation. I promise I'll get through the rest of these great articles on the next episode, but for now, this has been Confessions in Concord. May the peace of Christ be with you, friends, during these extremely trying times, and I hope you enjoyed this introduction and the first article of the Apostles' Creed, the Apostolorum, or Symbolum Apostolorum, or the Symbol of the Apostles. Thank you, friends, for listening. Again, follow us on Twitter @CatholicConcord. Grace and peace be with you all.